from Virginia Farm Bureau. This is Cattle Pulse. It's July 2025, and I'm Elijah Griles in Richmond, Virginia. On this episode, we talk with the first Virginia meat processor to be certified for the Virginia Verified Beef Label and explore the factors behind the feeder cattle futures market explosion. Let's take a look at our national feeder cattle futures contract numbers. The August contract is at $319 a hundredweight, which is up 2.9% from a month ago. The September contract is at $319 a hundredweight, up 3.3% from a month ago. The October contract is at $317 a hundredweight, up 3.4% from a month ago. We've seen these feeder cattle futures contracts push into completely new territory as they've gotten above $3 and really show no signs of looking back. So let's take a look at the factors that are influencing this rise. First, our cattle on feed report. There were 11.4 million cattle on feed on June 1st of 2025, which is down just 1% from last year. And this continues the trend of lower feedlot inventory since November 2024. Now, here's where things get interesting. The May placements were 1.89 million head, and that was 8% below a year ago. Marketings were 1.76 million head, which is 10% below a year ago. So while the cattle on feed inventory is not down substantially, the decrease in marketings is very substantial and noticeable. While there was one less working day for processors in May, this 10% reduction is indicative of the tight national feeder cattle inventory that we're facing. Now we're going to get better data on that as we look at the national cattle inventory from our July 1st report, which will be coming out in July this month, and we will be reporting on in the next episode, the August episode of Cattle Pulse. So that's one thing that's really been fueling our feeder cattle futures, is that the low feeder cattle inventories nationwide is starting to be realized. We've been looking for this for months, and now we're seeing that month over month trend where the limitations on feeder cattle supply are really just making these animals more valuable because people still want to eat beef, and feedlot operators still need cattle to put on feed to give them that beef. And the supply is limited there. Another factor contributing to the limited supply of feeder cattle is, of course, the continued restriction of feeder cattle imports from Mexico due to the New World screwworm fly. We do have a couple positive developments in that department, though. USDA recently announced a $21 million investment in the renovation of a sterile fly production facility in Mexico, as well as building a dispersal facility at Moore Air Base in Texas, trying to reestablish that biological barrier of those pests back into Panama. And a phased reopening for three ports of entry is underway this month for Mexican feeder cattle from the Mexican states of Sonora and Chihuahua, or cattle that are treated according to the New World screwworm fly protocol. More locations are also planned to be opened to import feeder cattle from Mexico in August and September. So we'll see how that develops, but it is good news that we are reopening those ports of entry for Mexican feeder cattle, which are deemed not to be a threat from this pest. So that could definitely help to bolster the feeder cattle supply as well, and we'll keep an eye on that. On the beef production side of things, we talk a lot about how strong beef demand is and the positive effect that that has on prices. I know that many of you all were grilling beef for the recent 4th of July holiday, but it is also important to mention that our beef production, similar to our feeder cattle supply, is falling, with our six-week moving average at 463.9 million pounds a week. So that's 463.9 million pounds of beef. That's a lot of ribeyes and hamburgers, I know. And that was for the week ending July 5th. And this is 6.1% below year-ago levels. So once again, continuing to see just that whole supply chain really feeling the full effects of the limitation on feeder cattle supply and fed cattle supply. In the August 2024 episode of Cattle Pulse, I interviewed Jake Tabor from Virginia Farm Bureau's Governmental Relations Department about the creation of the Virginia Verified Meat Program. And a year later, that program has come into full effect. So this program certifies that a meat product was born, bred, raised, and processed in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And that program has now come online for beef as the Virginia Verified Beef Program. I spoke with cattle producer Chase Scott in Franklin County, Virginia, whose Casey Farms Meats processing facility was the first to be certified for the label in the state. Chase, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Cattle Pulse today.
Yes, sir.
Could you introduce us to your all's farm and then the meat processing side of your business as well?
Casey Farms was started by my grandfather back in 1982. I've continued to farm on with my wife, Jessie, and our three children. We have primarily been a registered Red Angus cow-calf operation. Long about 2019, 2020, we started selling freezer beef. And as we got more involved with that, we saw a need for meat processing in our area because another meat processing plant had closed. And so we brainstormed and built Casey Farms Meats, which is our own processing plant that is USDA inspected, and we're able to process cattle for ourselves and other people, and not just cattle, but also hogs and sheep and goats.
And what does the scale of your operation look like now?
We're not large at all. We're categorized as very small by the USDA. An average week for us is anywhere between 5 and 10 head. So we're very small. We built this with the objective of just doing our own animals, but it's grown into capacity in which we can do it for the rest of our area. We process as a service to other farmers, and then our own cattle, we process under USDA inspection, which allows us to sell retail and wholesale.
Let's talk about the Virginia Verified Beef Program. What made you all decide to participate in that, and what are the parameters of the program?
Well, we were approached by the Virginia Cattlemen's Association, who developed this program. They wanted to come up with a label slash brand to differentiate beef in the state of Virginia that had been bred, born, raised, and processed all within the state of Virginia. And we looked at that as all positive for us, as we are kind of the one-stop shop. All the beef that we sell is beef that we have raised and produced. And we like the idea of being able to have another thing to show consumers how local it is, and not only local, but locally processed.
What has the response been from your all's clientele, from the customers buying your beef?
Well, it's all been positive. Lots of comments. And of course, in today's world of social media, it's been circulated, and people have reached out and said, hey, we see you have that. We think that's great. Our customer base was already somewhat developed because we're local anyway. But going forward, I think, especially if our product's on a store shelf somewhere, having the Virginia Verified Beef sticker or slash label on there will, again, be able to differentiate us from beef that's may have come in from other parts of the country.
We've talked about on the podcast before the rising prices of beef for the retail consumer. I know you all are kind of working with a different system than sort of the whole national inventory and large packing plant factors that affect the markets. What has your experience been in terms of being able to attract customers with what I'm guessing is probably a more premium product that might carry a higher price than what they'd find in their grocery store?
What I would say, we have always priced for a premium product here, but compared to what our local grocery stores are selling for, they've risen to be not very much below us. And you say, well, you should be able to continue to charge a premium above that. In our part of the Virginia, I see a limit. I mean, people are not going to pay but so much for beef. And so we have held our prices, but the grocery store prices have come up to be very close to underneath us.
Thanks so much, Chase. I really appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you.
To learn more about the program and how to get involved, you can visit vaverifiedbeef.com. www.elijahgriles.com. Now let's take a look at our weather and climate outlook. The Drought Monitor has some great news for us, unsurprisingly, I'm sure, given all the rain we've seen, is that the state continues to be drought-free. Now, our NOAA Climate Prediction Center July outlook shows that the eastern two-thirds of the state has a 50 to 60% chance of above-average temperatures, while the southwestern third of the state has a 40 to 50% chance of above-average temperatures for July. Now, most of the state has a 40 to 50% chance of above-average precipitation, except for Tidewater, which has a 33 to 40% chance of above-average precipitation for the month. So it looks like this warm, we'll say hot, and wet pattern is going to continue through the month. I know that the hot days that we've had recently have been a challenge on average daily gain and a lot of the livestock and some of the cool season forage growth that we'd expect. The good news is that we are not seeing that really dry weather that we've experienced for the past couple summers. I know, especially up in Virginia's cattle country in the valley and mountain regions. To finish off today's episode, let's look at our monthly averages for our feeder cattle auctions for those five weight steers, medium and large one. Abingdon Tri-State was at $367.40 a hundredweight, down 3.4% from a month ago. Blackstone was at $363.40 a hundredweight, down 2% from a month ago. Lynchburg was at $361.40 a hundredweight, down 4% from a month ago. Radiant was at $373.40 a hundredweight, up 2.7% from a month ago. Shenandoah Valley was at $383.40 a hundredweight, up 5.2% from a month ago. And Winchester was at $395.10 a hundredweight, up 4% from a month ago. The six market average was $374, which is up 0.4% from a month ago. So we see these mixed results throughout the six markets that we tracked, but our statewide average is 25% above June of 2024. And I think it's really interesting that Winchester is just creeping right up to the line of that $4 mark, which is absolutely incredible given the historical average prices for five-weight steers in Virginia. As you all know, seasonality is a big component to our feeder cattle auctions, and VDAC's data shows that June has the highest prices for five-weight steers over the five-year average. It'll be very interesting to watch what happens in July and the rest of the summer with tight supplies in feedlots and cheap feed ingredients. Price strength could continue. That's all the time we have together for this month, but if you want more, check out this month's recommended read, Cattle Market Notes Weekly, where Kenny Burdine at the University of Kentucky discusses why cowherd expansion is not the only way to capitalize on a strong calf market. You can find a link to that in the podcast description. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you next month.